Yes, Vember at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, trouble in paradise for the NRL's newest franchise, MG. The Dolphins can't seem to land a big name.
Well, I don't think it's quite what they thought it'd be. I thought they'd come in, they'd name Wayne Bennett as their major signing, which he probably is, and now they're having trouble trying to secure a marquee signing after five or six players who they chased early on in their tenure have all said no, the latest being Tino Fasua-Mala'awi, who just signed an extended contract with the Titans. You'd be happy.
I'm very happy, man, as a Titans fan. We're going to run you through that full list of players that the Dolphins have missed out on, and MG will tell you the player that they absolutely cannot afford to miss on now in the NRL's free agency market. Gus Warland, friend of the show and 2022 host of the New Look Rush Hour. He's going to join us because with all the debate surrounding the test captaincy and Tim Payne and the sexting scandal, it seems like Pat Cummins is a fait accompli of being the next Australian test captain.
Or is he?
Well, that's what Gussie's coming in for.
He wants to give a bit of a character reference for his mate Smitty, and why wouldn't he? He's done a lot of good work, Steve Smith, in his couple of years that he was in the wilderness for Gotcha for Life. So Gussie will tell us all about it.
Looking forward to seeing the case presented around that.
I hope you've got your brain on tonight, because I've got a little surprise for you.
Well, I bring my brain every night to the show.
Yeah, I know that. Yep. But just be aware. Just a little cryptic message for you. That's all. Stay tuned, listeners. Stay random.
But up next, we've got to get an update on the world of NRL free agency with this. Oh, the only bloke who's sadder, MG, than you and I are, that the show is coming to an end. Because it's fair to say that on this segment, this man, his reputation has gone through the roof.
He's gone through the roof. He's got his own little opener from Midnight Oil. Read about it. He's become a cult hero thanks to the Russian.
He's landed a spot on the NRL 360 desk, all of that. Brent Reed from News Corp. G'day, Reedy.
Does that mean the opener's dead? Oh, this is tragic.
No, you've got a patent on that.
That's our gift from us to you. You can take it wherever you choose in 2022.
Oh, sad. Well, before you
get too emotional, let's talk about the NRL free agency frenzy. What can you tell us about this Bulldogs controversy and Billy Kickow in the polo shirt? Where is this all at?
Well, I mean, obviously Billy's done and the agreement's in place now. They haven't announced it yet. It's not official yet, but I'm not exactly sure what the holdup is. But, you know, I think it's going to have big ramifications for the Bulldogs. I mean, obviously beyond the fact they're getting a really quality player in Billy Armakikau, they've paid a pretty steep price for him, and that means it's going to have to be moved elsewhere. I mean, I've done a rough calculation of their salary cap myself, and at the moment, to be able to fit 30 players under the cap for 2023, it's going to be really difficult. So I would imagine we're going to see some movement, particularly if they get Reid Marnie. If they get Reid Marnie, they will have to move players. That's just a fact. They just cannot fit everyone under the cap in 2023. So they will have to move players. I think the expectation is right now that they will move players. Now, the names I'm hearing, there'll be names that have done the rounds for a while now, but they're back on the radar in the wake of the kick-out situation. Nick Kotrick, Corey Allen, they're the two names that are getting the most prominence. I know that appear on the radar of some other clubs, and I think we'll see how it shakes out. But there's going to be some movement in the Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a pretty active off-season for that footy. Well, it's already been an active one. It's only going to get busier for them.
You've got to think that it's got to be more than Kotrick and Allen, of course. But, with the signing of Billy Kickow, obviously it was a prize signing, but putting all their eggs in one basket sometimes could be fraught with danger, especially when you've still got Thompson, who's on similar money to Kickow. Yeah. It's going to be hard to juggle both of them at the same time.
Well, the other guy, MG, that keeps it's often his band about is Kyle Flanagan. You know, it's obviously a crucial offseason for Kyle Flanagan. I mean, you know, if he's not offered elsewhere and doesn't find another home, you know, he's got to make that Bulldogs number 7 jersey his own. If he can't do that, there's no way Kyle Flanagan will be at that club in 2023. I just can't see it happening. So you've got some guys there who I think will be given the opportunity to go. The Bullers are going to have to put money in for them because they're all on big money. If they're going to find another club somewhere else, no one, these other clubs have now got the Bulldogs over a barrel, and they're not just going to take their wages. The Dogs have to put money in for them. So it's going to be a really interesting off-season at Belmore, I suspect. And, you know, the kick-out thing's kicked it off.
The Dogs of War continue to build for 2022 and 2023. Reddy, what about Brandon Smith? Where's he playing? Is he going to be a Rooster or is he going to be a Dolphin?
Well, if you listen to his agent, there's a few other clubs involved. But I don't think there is. You know, the Cowboys have obviously had a red-hot go at him. And they'd be even more determined now after missing out until the only kick-out to try and launch a red-hot bid in. The Titans are obviously in the mix as well. But, you know, I know his agents are talking up that it's not a two-horse race. My sense is that, and it has been for a while now, that it's the Dolphins or the Roosters, and that's it. It won't be anyone else. It won't be Melbourne, I think. Melbourne, whilst they haven't come out and said that yet, I think there's an air of acceptance about it. I mean, we've seen the way Brandon's paraded himself up and down the East Coast, and that indicates that he's on the move. I mean, it's pretty clear. And, you know, I think it's out of the Dolphins and the Roosters. I think it's really interesting. He's meeting the Roosters, obviously, this week. He'll beat Robbo. He'll catch up with Robbo. Robbo's a pretty convincing guy when he gets you in a room and sits you down for over dinner. So my sense was the Dolphins were in front. But, look, I wouldn't put a line through the Roosters. I just don't think you can when you've got a club like that.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned by the Dolphins and their lack of star power at the moment. They've gone after a lot and they haven't got many. I think they've either got to get Liam Smith or Ponga. They've got to land one of them too for their big marquee signing. If they don't get either of them, well, they're in a bit of froth and bubble.
Well, we might have a bit more of a conversation about the Dolphins very shortly. Reedy, this is it. You've got one more Reedy's Mail coming up on Thursday. Well, so, like the last sprint in a training session, MG, we want him to just put everything into it. We want you winning this last cross on Thursday.
I'll be choking back tears. I mean, how am I supposed to do anything while I choke back tears? It could get very emotional.
Just have your tissue, your hanky with you. That's all. Have your hanky.
Well, it's got my tissues with me, don't worry.
Good boy.
Brent Reed from News Corp. We'll chat to you again Thursday. You're listening to The Rush Out with MG and Liam, and it's all thanks to The Star, because MG, what month are we in at The Star?
Yes, November.
That's right. Yes, November.
Yes, Vember.
Where you don't say no to anything, you say yes to the quick catch-ups.
Why would you? Honestly?
Well, there's so much going on at The Star. How could you say no?
Oh, you can have a romantic little chenay with your loved one. You can have a great feed. You can have a great...
Did you mean soiree or serenade?
Both.
Yeah.
See, I'm changing the language of the dictionary as we go.
You know what? It's yes, Vember. I say yes to MG's new words.
There we go.
As well.
See? Sure.
So much happening at The Star. How can you say no? MG, speaking of saying no, turns out everybody's saying no to the Dolphins at the moment. We've got a Dolphins drama on our hands in the NRL.
We have somewhat of a, yeah, we have, we, I think we have. Look, it's been, what, a month or so after of existence and fanfare that they've had, but the pressure all of a sudden has hit the NRL's new franchise after failing to secure a marquee signing in their, you know, for their 2023 season. And to be honest, Liam, the list is shrinking daily. It's after chasing, you know, Cam Munster and Harry Grant initially, and Christian Walsh's name was mentioned, and Cody Walker was first mentioned, Regan Campbell-Gillard. Now it's basically Tino Fasua-Mala'awi, who Wayne Bennett went after feverishly.
Mm.
He's just signed an extension with the Titans. So,
4 years at 3.3 for the life of the contract.
You got to think what is left in the pool, which is a very good pool. But you got to think it's their marquee player is going to come out of three players. It's got to be either Ponga, it's going to be either Brandon Smith or Junior Paulo.
Yeah, and we know that Brandon Smith met with the Roosters yesterday, and there is growing speculation that the Roosters are now suddenly
big time in the mix.
If not in pole position, at least, you know, galloping nose to nose with the Dolphins as far as Brandon Smith goes. So if they don't land Brandon Smith for 2023, all of a sudden the Dolphins face possibly entering 2023 without that face on the poster, without that face on the membership, lanyards and cards and all the other merch that they're wanting to be, you know, jumping into the market with in 2023.
Yeah, look, whoever gets that coveted marquee role is going to be, you know, lauded by the faithful. He's going to be their main man. But he's going to want to know that there's other people coming with him. You know, you can't win a game on your own. And as we keep saying about the Dolphins, they've got to hit the ground running. They've got to hit the ground successfully. And I think they've got to make a call soon. And Brandon Smith is the one, I think, if they can snare him, I think it's getting more unlikely each day that, you know, Trent Robinson's having dinner with him this week. And, you know, you've got Nick Politis in the background who's very persuasive. Look, even the Titans have come back in the picture with Brandon Smith. So for mine, it's looking at more like Ponga. But does he want to leave Newcastle and be that big fish again in a big pond, or does he like to be a big fish in a little pond? I don't know.
But do you think it's
worrying.
That point you made there about other troops on the way, it's all well and good to be the big fish and the marquee signing, but wanting to know that there are other troops, do you think that is a real hurdle for the Dolphins to overcome in their negotiations and their courtship of all these stars?
It's one of them. I don't think it's the major one, but it's definitely one of them. The more concerning is the fact that every off-contracted player is now being linked to the Dolphins, as they were with the Bulldogs, you know, 6 months ago. And look what the Bulldogs have done. It's quite miraculously. What they're doing is they're using it as some type of leverage butt against their current club. And I think Regan Campbell-Gillard did that perfectly. And there's no rhyme or reason to say you shouldn't be doing that. But they've got to be careful, the Dolphins, that they don't chase every person of note, because they'll just be... they'll be knocked back, and they won't get that confidence they need. Look, it's been 4 or 5 weeks. They need to make a kill, and they need to make one soon.
Shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. But right now, it's Triple M's Beat the Pom, isn't it? Triple M's Beat the Pom.
Yeah, we've got another barbecue to give away today, MG, thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. You can shop the latest barbecue range right now at Harvey Norman. Or you can win a brand new Massport 4-burner barbecue by just playing Beat the Pom. All you got to do is beat a Pom, MJ.
All you got to do is know your Ashes history and take on Barmy Matty, who's quite clever when it comes to this. But I think he might have his work cut out for him today, because our contestant sounds pretty smart.
He didn't get a chance to join in. Barmy Matt, welcome back.
Hello, good to be here.
The barbecue went off yesterday, Barmy Matt. You knew the answer, but the barbecue did go off. Do you think you'll get a chance to at least answer the question today?
I would like nothing more than to take a few barbecues off you blokes.
Well, the man you're taking on today is Scott from St. Mary's. G'day, Scott.
Hey, good boys. How are you? Oh,
we are fantastic, right. Scotty. Do you know your Ashes history, my friend?
I like to think so.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. Scotty, here we go, mate.
This
good
is for
luck.
The barbecue. Straight up, Scott. You get this question right, you take home this barbecue.
And $100 worth of meat.
And $100 cash from us to go buy it to christen it. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Scotty from St. Mary's. Who has the most Ashes wickets of all time?
Shane Keith Warne.
Oh. Without hesitation.
Wow. For a Stay Random Sydney t-shirt, how many?
Ashes? Oh.
Yep. Ballpark.
Ballpark, you'd have to have about 400.
Not quite that many.
No, maybe Barmy Matty might know that.
Barmy Matt, do we know how many Ashes wickets Shane Warne has?
It's about half that, isn't it? You got about 180, 190 against us, I think.
He's good.
Yeah, 195.
195, Barmy Matt.
Bonus point for the middle name. Change. No, I appreciate that. I can recognise good game. Good on you, Scotty.
Good game play. I like that.
Hey, Scotty, well, mate, awesome, buddy. What a Chrissy present you've got.
Yeah, not wrong.
Congratulations, Scotty. One of these brand new Massport 4-burner barbecues is coming your way. Congratulations. Enjoy the summer with the barbecue.
Beautiful. Snoke. Thank you, boys.
Well done, Scotty. Thanks for listening.
And now, Barmy Matt, quickly, just to continue to keep your cricket mind ticking over, can you tell us the leading English wicket taker all time in the Ashes?
I have a feeling that was Lord Ian Botham.
Oh, geez, he's good.
I've got a feeling you are correct.
He is 128.
Yeah, okay. I think Bordy and Anderson aren't too far off.
Oh, jeez, he's good.
They're right there, clacker. What about who's second of all time?
For England?
No, for both teams.
Pigeon, wasn't it? Yeah. Isn't it not McGrath that was just behind?
Why do we need Google? Why do we need Google?
He's good.
Glenn McGrath.
We should get him as part of our Triple M commentary team this year.
Stats man.
Yeah.
When you've grown up being scarred by Warney and McGrath, as I have, that's not something you forget easily.
Pidgeon is second with 157, but you're right about Stuart Broad. He's only 10 wickets behind Beefy on the all-time tally, so he could go ahead of him this series. Lord Ian Botham, and part of Triple M's Ashes lineup for this summer. Barmy Matt, no luck today. Tomorrow, maybe you get to steal a barbecue.
Tomorrow. It's happening. Get ready.
Adios.
MG, let's peel our eyes away from Tim Payne's nether regions for a moment and talk some cricket. We welcome into the studio a man who you spent too much time in the studio with, Angus Wong. G'day, Gussie.
G'day, Liam. How are you, mate? G'day, Wild Panther.
Hello, Angus, and a very good cricketer in his own right in his day. Very good wicketkeeper.
Wicketkeeper.
I was never a wicketkeeper, and he knows that. We played one game at Penrith together once for a charity thing, and MG was far better than me, and he used to talk himself up, you know, little in-swinging bowler and so forth.
Left arm over,
and unexpectedly better than you expect.
Really?
Yep.
Well, he's told me that he, you know, it was a choice between cricket and rugby league.
I'm not quite sure if it was a choice between the two games, but certainly he was better. MG perhaps, you know, puts a bit of salt and pepper on a few stories.
Yeah, a bit of mustard, a bit of gravy.
He didn't on this occasion. Okay. He was actually very good.
All right. Well, we got you in here to talk about cricket. You're going to be part of the Triple M's Ashes commentary team.
Cannot wait.
Which kicks off very, very soon.
Yeah.
Pat Cummins is the vice-captain. We know Tim Payne has stepped down. Cricket Australia has said they are going to fast-track this process of appointing the next cricket captain.
Yeah.
But the other name in the mix is Steve Smith. Now, this is a man you know well with all the work you've done with Gotcha for Life, your charity. Do you think Steve Smith should be the next captain?
I think he could be the next captain. I don't think he will be. I think they're definitely going to go with Cummins, and there's a lot of good reasons for that. Don't want to go from scandal to scandal back to the first scandal, so that's a big thing. But secondly, Pat Cummins deserves it. He is the vice-captain, and he's a perfect face for cricket right now, right? After a couple of scandals, super good-looking, best bowler in the world, actually a really good all-rounder, much loved by boys, girls, men, women, and everyone in between, so he's the right guy to get it. But I reckon Steve would be a better captain than he was before because he's a much better person, more rounded, not just cricket, because he's learnt so much through. Obviously, it was a huge thing for him, you know, losing the captaincy, losing playing for Australia, losing his, you know, just his livelihood for a year. I mean, we went out to schools in that 100 hours that he had to do as part of his punishment, MG, and he'd walk in not knowing if they were going to cheer him, boo him, complete silence. He was really up against it, and he built up so much emotional muscle and mental fitness in that time that he came out and did the Ashes. We know what he did there, and he's been extraordinary ever since then. So I think he would be a better captain, a more mature person, but I don't think he'll get it.
I think when you experience vulnerability like he did, I saw him the year after he was suspended out at Panthers. We're actually there again this Friday for Gotcha for Life. And I saw a different side to him. Not that I'd ever known the other side of him, but as a sensational batsman and a wonderful ambassador for cricket, you always got the feeling that Sandpaper Gate wasn't who he was. You just kind of thought that it was kind of all these things come together to create the perfect storm, and it was a massive scandal. But then after that, we saw the vulnerable side of him. And I think I'm with you, Angus. Everything you've said, I agree with. I agree 100%. I think that he could be captain again because of what he's learned and through your foundation as well, and what he's done for other people just by being himself is an amazing, amazing thing. But I think Paddy Cummins, for all the reasons, and I think he, like you say, and you said it probably too much, that he's a bit of a spunk, but
well, he's a good sort. I mean,
he's a great sort.
We
had him on the show here recently. He's a humanitarian. He likes to give back. He's giving himself back to his local cricket club. But tell us about Steve Smith when you first asked him to come on as the, you know, like a semi-ambassador for Gotcha for Life.
Well, I knew that he was struggling, and I saw his dad put his hand on his shoulders in that press conference. We can all remember, if you're a sports lover. Yeah. It's right there in my eyes if I shut my eyes now. So that moment I knew that he needed some help, so I just threw it open. I knew his manager well, Warren, who's just an absolute champion. He's a really good guy.
He was my manager at one stage, Warren Craig.
That's it, Warren Craig, and he still talks about those, you know, with a lot of fondness, MG. Really good bloke, looks after his clients well, and I said, look, we're here if we need him. 2 days later, he said, I've watched man up. I understand where your passion comes from. I understand what you're trying to do here. So I want to show a bit of vulnerability and get out in front of this and talk to the kids. He could have easily gone to cricket nets and banged those 100 hours out easy, you know. But he actually put himself in a situation where he was open, honest and vulnerable. There were some moments where he had tears running out of his eyes, snot running out of his nose, trying to get out what had happened, the message he was trying to get through to these kids. We've done 43 schools now. Now, 43 schools is double what he ever had to do. When he came back from the Ashes, he said, I've got 3 days off. Do you reckon we can get a school?
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, okay, so you're truly involved in this. You're really, like, invested.
It's very hard not to be. Very hard not to be.
Do you think he's 32 years of age? He's had a stint where he captained in the national side for 34 test matches before Sandpapergate. Do you think he would take on an official vice captaincy role if he were offered it?
Absolutely, and I think that's what they should do, because you think about Pat Cummins, he's going to bowl between 15 and 20 overs a day. So he's got to be focusing on his bowling. The rest of another 15 or 20 overs, he's going to be at fine leg resting. So there's 30 overs, let's say, in the day that he's going to be not involved in any of those really big, huge decisions. Steve Smith's going to be in and around the bat, in the slips initially, and then in and around the bat, short mid-wicket, short cover. He can be his perfect eyes and ears, and they're great mates. They're New South Wales teammates, and I reckon that would be a perfect sort of combination. Mm. And that's what they should go for the new
captaincy setup for the Australian Test.
I don't mind it at all. I think that obviously the scandal that broke just recently with Tim Payne is bad timing as far as the Ashes go, but. You know what, it's as long as they've got their stuff sorted, I think Cricket Australia will get their stuff sorted, and I think we'll have an announcement, you know, looming in the next couple of days at least.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't come out with it. I think they know exactly what's happening. It's an easy one, but certainly Steve would be a better captain. He's a more rounded person since what's happened in South Africa and the work he's done at Gotcha for sure.
Well, well done to you, Gussie, for the small role that you have played in the development of that man. Hopefully, you gave him zero batting tips, because I think you should have stayed away from that. Just let Smudge do his own batting.
Just elbow up, mate.
No, he doesn't need any input from you on that front. So hopefully we reap the rewards come that first test up at the Gabba. Gus Warren going to be a part of the Triple M Ashes coverage. Can't wait to hear you on the dials when
Boom,
the cricket starts.
Beautiful. Gussie. See you. MG, see you later.
Yangy.
We're almost done for your Tuesday, the final week ever of the Rush Hour with MG and Liam. It's flying by.
Very, very sad week.
Hopefully no cameos by Hughesy, Ed and Aaron today. But before we finish today.
We've just got to run some tests, Dr. Gaia.
You think you're so clever?
It's time for MG's Brain Game.
Yes, well, scratch that record. Because I'm turning the tables today on you, my friend, and you've done this for the past 5 or 6 weeks on me.
Yep.
The brain game. Well, now it's time for me to turn the tables on you. I'm going to play a bit of audio. I want then for you to tell me exactly what the audio is and who the person is exactly. And there's 5 questions.
Yeah.
For you to pass this brain game, you need 4 out of 5.
All right. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been playing the brain game looking back at the year of sport.
Yes.
Is that the same go here?
This is kind of looking back on our last 4 years.
4 years?
Hmm.
Oh, well, you've moved the goalpost there, haven't you?
Well, that's why they call it Liam's brain game.
Right. So this is the last 4 years of the show.
Yes.
Encapsulated in one quiz. And what's the, how many questions?
5.
All right. Well, you're about to see 100% performance.
5.
Confident. Very confident.
Okay.
All right.
Press number 1.
And I can reveal that Parramatta are launching an audacious 10-year, $11 million bid for the player.
Oh. And what do I have to tell you?
The player that the winemaker was referring to.
Oh, the winemaker. Oh, geez. One of the favourites on the Rush Hour. The winemaker was, of course, referring to Latrell Mitchell. And a supposed 10-year contract offer that I think was on the table.
Latrell Mitchell is available to sign with other clubs from November 1.
Yeah,
one
nice.
From
Ting.
One. The winemaker proved to be a little bit off the mark there.
Well, some of his stuff was okay. That's all about Matt O'Reilly.
You know what? With only three shows to go after today.
Yeah.
One of the real pride points for me is looking back and that we didn't end up in court because of some of the things that
we were
said.
We were close, but we managed to sidestep a couple of barristers.
All right, 1 from 1.
Number 2.
The players need to get paid, and the only way they can get paid is for the competition to proceed.
What is the Godfather specifically referring to here?
That is Peter Volandis, talking about the need for the game to resume last year after the COVID outbreak?
No.
We made the decision that the families also join the players to assist, you know, in relocating to Queensland.
Oh, are you kidding?
You said last year. It's this year and it was Queensland.
You're
so
not...
sorry. No, that's an X.
That's a half point.
That's one.
I'm giving myself a half point.
No, well, that's, mate, if you listen closely to our show, you would know that Peter Vallandis has a different tone.
Closely to our show.
He has a different tone when referring to Queensland. And you didn't pick that tone up, so.
All right.
Bad luck. One from two, my friend. Number three, please.
He seems to be intimidated by whoever is playing outside of him. Look what Nathan Cleary's doing at Penrith without James Maloney. And I think it's, he's almost intimidated by what brings to the team.
Question is, which player did I think was intimidated in this audio?
I just need to hear the bit again at the top.
He seems to be intimidated by whoever is playing outside of him. Look what Nathan Cleary's doing at Penrith without James Maloney. And I think it's, he's almost intimidated by what brings to the team.
I think it's whoever's playing outside of him. I think it's Luke Brooks. I'm going to say Luke Brooks.
Press the button.
The pressure is on. Luke Brooks in particular.
Yes.
Two,
nice.
2.5 out of 3.
Nice.
2.5 out of 3.
2 out of 3. Good work, brother.
Okay.
Okay. Print number four.
I don't know. I was on the beach, pretty close to the beaches when I was on the Gold Coast.
Makes me think it's Jai Arrow. That didn't sound like Jai Arrow. I was pretty close to the beaches when I was on... I'm going to hear that again, sorry.
I don't know. I was on the beach, pretty close to the beaches when I was on the Gold Coast.
No, I'm going to say that's Jai Arrow when he's moved to join the Bunnies and he's moved into Maroubra. So that's why he's chosen to live there. I reckon we just got him and he'd been lost in the city or something.
Close. Press the button.
It is a pleasure to welcome in this man. First time on the show, Keegan Hickgrave from Parramatta Eagles. G'day, Keegan.
I thought you would have got that one.
I knew it didn't sound like Jai.
We were added, just as we added him to a new format of our show, he retires. So there's two from four. You need this one to even get some type of credibility,
my
friend.
I'm at 2.5. All right.
Okay.
I'm at 2.5. Here we go.
If you don't get this one, well...
I failed.
You have failed.
All right. As we welcome our first ever gold medalist into the room, MG, on the show... Oh, Charlotte Kaslick. Charlotte Kaslick, rugby sevens gold medalist from the Brazil Rio Olympics. Charlotte Kaslick, welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
Yay! Our first in studio guest. And wasn't she just a delight?
She was a delight.
Well, you went well.
3 out of 5.
I must confess, you went well. The Keegan Hipgrave one. Digital Tony got it right because obviously he's a Parramatta fan. Mm. Peter Vallandis, you were close. The game resuming, but I wanted specifically relocating to Queensland.
Three out of five. 3 out of 5 over a 4-year period. I'll take it. Very nicely put together.
Very good.
Do I have you to thank, or is that producer Charlie? Does he get some of
it? It was combined effort.
Combined effort. Team effort.
Combined effort, yeah.
Always is. Hey, we're going to get out of here. Power ranking tomorrow. What are you going to power rank tomorrow for us?
I don't know if I'm allowed to. I've got to ask the morning show.
Oh, is that their property now, the power rankings? What about you power rank the guests we've had over the 5 years?
Done.
Your 5 favourite guests across the lifetime of the Rush Hour with MG and Lee.
I think this is for our last power rankings on the show. I think myself, you, Charlie and Tony put our heads together and let's come up with it. So what we do is I'll get the 4 of us to put our top 5 down.
All right. And then
individually,
you'll
and then we'll put them together and we'll find out who our best guest was over 5 years.
There you go. Tomorrow on the show, the definitive power rankings of every guest that has been on the Rush Hour since 2018 through to now. MG, we got to get out of here.
Oh, what a fantastic show. As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.
Yes, Vember, at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?